Good morning. Our Bible reading this morning is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 17, and reading verses 8 to 16. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "For hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you, figuratively speaking, on this beautiful day. Sun seems to have disappeared at Killinghall, but I'm sure it'll be back a little bit later. In November 1995, Sheila and I and quite a lot of other people from St Andrew's Church were able to hear John Wimber and his team speak at the conference centre. John Wimber was a great teddy bear of a man. He would have made a good Father Christmas, I think. But he was certainly a very powerful preacher and evangelist and Christian teacher. He would normally be speaking and teaching about signs and wonders and how you and I as Christians could minister in the power of the Holy Spirit with the authority of the name of Jesus and to the glory of God the Father. But what remains in my mind about this 1995 conference was something that he said about prayer. He said, basically, you only need to know three prayers. And that made me sit up. And he said, those three are, firstly, O God, O God, O God. Secondly, Lord have mercy. And third, help. O God, O God, O God, Lord have mercy and help. So just bear that in mind as we go through our sermon today. We're beginning today a series on prayer. And it's a very interesting start because neither the noun prayer nor the verb to pray occurs in our reading. However, it's difficult to imagine what Moses and Aaron and Hur were doing at the top of the hill if they weren't calling on the Lord in prayer. The people of Israel were on their long trudge through the desert, fleeing from slavery in Egypt and aiming for the promised land of Canaan. The journey, even with a couple of million people and livestock and with all their possessions, should really only have taken a couple of months. But because of their foolishness and their disobedience, it took 40 years in all. Moses is in his 80s and he's struggling to keep the people together. The latest episode has been the slight problem of water. They didn't have any. Yet Moses' staff again came to their rescue. The staff, the symbol of God's power and presence, came to their rescue. Actually, of course, it was God who came to their rescue. But he used Moses and the staff. Do you remember it had transformed into a serpent and then back again in front of Pharaoh? It had caused the waters of the Red Sea to recede for the Israelites to go across, and then it has come back and drowned the pursuing Egyptians. Now, by striking upon the rock, water gushed forth and the people were satisfied, at least for a short time. But then came the next catastrophe, and we find that in verse 8 in our reading. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. This is the only recording of war in the book of Exodus, and it marks the emergence of Joshua as Moses' successor, and certainly as the warrior leader of the nation. You could read more about Joshua in his own book. But verse 10 tells us, so Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. From there, of course, they could see the battle and their army could see them. Now, I wonder if you have ever lifted up your hands for a long time. Maybe you've been supporting Liverpool, you know, we are the champions. Or maybe you've been lifting your hands in reverence, in prayer, and in adoration to the Lord. I don't know about you, but I tire very quickly. Yet here is Moses in the second position of worship. Notice the first position is to be prostrate before the Lord, but the second position is to be hands high. And he's holding his hands high for all the sunlit hours of one day. Amazing, isn't that? His mate helped him by giving him a stone to sit on, how comfortable, and then holding his hands as he held up his staff. And so long as his hands were held high, the Israelites were winning. But when they fell, the Amalekites were winning. Wow. How on earth did that happen? And what were the links between hands raised and victory? Well, I think there might have been a twofold connection. Firstly, their commitment. Moses and Aaron and Hur have committed themselves to doing the only thing that they can do. They can't fight, but they can lift the nation before the Lord. And then secondly, prayer. Oh God, Almighty God, we are praising you. We worship you. We trust you. If they'd had the book of Psalms, the last few say this, Psalm 144, praise be to the Lord my rock. 145, I will exalt you, my God, the King. Praise 146, praise the Lord, O my soul. And 147, 148, 149, 150, praise the Lord. The Israelites had a wonderful tradition of praising the Lord, their Creator. I wonder if it began here. And then secondly, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord, we're so foolish, but we are your people. Please deliver us from the enemy and restore us to your side. And then help. I just love that one. It's so simple, isn't it? Help! We need you to overcome this enemy. We can't do it, but you can. Help us, Lord, deliver us. And somehow, Moses' act of raising his hands with the staff towards heaven, coupled with their prayers, made it possible for God's almighty power to overcome the Amalekites and to bring victory to the Israelites. At the end of the victory, at the end of our reading, God told Moses to record the victory by writing down the details. And he also built an altar. He built an altar to the Lord, designating it Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. For hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord, verse 16 tells us. What a great story that is, isn't it, to begin our series on prayer. Of course, there are many others in the New Testament and in the Old Testament as God's people step out in prayer to communicate with their Maker, with their Redeemer, with their Saviour and with their Lord. I encourage you, search them out, read them and be inspired and learn from them. But for today, I've written down three lessons which I think we can learn, in addition, of course, to O God, O God, O God, and Lord have mercy and help. So the first lesson is that as Moses lifted high the staff, as the Lord is my banner, so you and I need to lift high the name and the person of Jesus as Lord. St. Paul talked about it, didn't he, in Philippians 2, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So our worship needs to begin with adoration and praise of the King. We need to acknowledge who he is in the earth, in heaven, and in our lives. Our prayers need to begin in humility by magnifying his name and continue by thanking him for what he has done for us and what he continues to give us. We can begin to move then to asking for forgiveness, and that happens through the death and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And our prayers then can move to asking God through petition and intercession and supplication. And that's for ourselves, for our friends and loved ones, and for the world. And we can pray in the sure and certain confidence that our Lord hears and will answer our prayers. So that's one, lifting high the name of Jesus. And then secondly, as Moses and Aaron and Hur worked together in lifting high the Lord is my banner all day, so you and I, as the body of Christ, need to work together, complementing each other's talents and gifting to serve the Lord. Do you remember Jesus sent out the 12 and then the 72 in pairs to do the kingdom work of preaching and healing and raising the dead and driving out demons and cleansing the lepers? You can find that in Matthew 10. The apostles in Acts continued his work, and they needed to appoint deacons to be carers in the early church, involving even more people. St. Paul writes about the many ministries in the church and points out the importance of every member. In St. Andrew's, we've never been as grateful as during this difficult time for the variety of gifting, of talents and of generosity of our members. Praise the Lord. And then thirdly, as the awesome threesome stuck to their task of holding their hands up in the air all day, so you and I are called to pray continually, or without ceasing. Pray without ceasing is what one of the other versions of the Bible says. This doesn't mean that we have to be constantly on our knees or constantly hands held high. More, it means that we live our lives tuned into what God is saying and doing, listening to him, talking with him in every situation that we find ourselves. And the more we do it, the more obvious his voice and his desires will be. And the more you and I will be able to serve the Lord our God with the authority of the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to the glory of the Father Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.